Welcome to the Fail Forward podcast with Adnan and Dan. Welcome back. Today's guest, we have Paul Addicott from the UK. I've been following Paul now for the last 5 or 6 years. It's funny, often when you have a passion for running, you just find people that you click with. And Paul was one of those people a long time ago. He's a pacer. He's paced well over 100 marathons across the world. He's been involved in 11 ultras. He's done 6 triathlons. And not only triathlons, he's done 6 Ironmen. He's helped people achieve his goals in so many different areas. It started off with his own obsession for creating his own PBs in races, to then realizing that his obsession was actually helping others. So in this story today, Paul talks about the journey of being able to help people, what he does to encourage them, and it's a real journey and a race for pacing. Here we go.
Welcome to the Fail Forward podcast, where Dan and Adnan peel back the onion on our guest stories and on each other, all in an effort to change the narrative of failure. Enjoy the show.
Welcome back to the Fail Forward podcast with Adnan and Dan. Today we have the honor with us of having the guest Paul Addicott. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to be together. What's unique about this podcast, especially given that it's both Dan and I, Paul, is that sometimes one of us knows a ton about the guests that they're bringing on, and the other has the opportunity to learn about that person's unique nuances throughout the podcast. And that happens to me to be me today. So I'm super excited to learn, yes, about the one topic that Dan really had delved deep into with me, but also explore how it ties to other aspects of your personality. Now, I understand you're a passionate runner and a general, like, a sportsman. Is that correct?
I'd like to say so, yeah.
Great. And I think where you and I probably connect is that I recently, about a year ago, discovered the level of fulfillment that comes from not just running for yourself, but for running for others. And yeah, I'd love to just start off with that, you know, as a topic or as a question. Like, how did you transition? I mean, I'm sure you do a little bit of both, of course, but what was that moment when you moved from running for yourself to bring in the concept of running for others and supporting the sport and culture as a whole?
So I think I've learned a lot about myself over the years through running. And when I started running, it was all for myself. I was out of shape. I'd just finished university. I went to do a half marathon because I knew I thought I can do that. And it was a real eye-opener to me. I wasn't a real runner at the time. I didn't consider myself a runner. I just went to do it. And it destroyed me. I remember feeling so terrible, not being able to walk properly for a week afterwards. And it was that moment back in 2009 that I decided that I wanted to be a runner. And so from that, from my self-fulfillment, I wanted to improve my fitness and I wanted to, be able to run and not feel so bad. And so I started a journey personally to do that. And I was lots of 10Ks and half marathons. And I just trained very hard. And every single race needed to be a personal best. Every race, I went out there and I left nothing behind. And I just ran hard. And I ran hard for 2 to 3 years. And at that time, I was plagued with injuries. And I wasn't enjoying running. I didn't enjoy running. I didn't run because I enjoyed to do it. I ran because I wanted to be better. And when I was suffering with injuries and really not liking running at all, I actually met a guy at a race that was organising pacers. And I'd had experiences with pacers before and not necessarily great ones. I'd run with pacers who were very sporadic. And the big thing for me, I'd run with pacers who didn't really care about the runners around them. It was just about running a time. And so I was skeptical, but I thought, I'll give that a go. So my first experience And I went back and paced the same race that I had ran. I did it in 2013, my first pacing. So I went back to pace that race that I did 4 years before at a 10-minute faster time than I finished that time. And it completely changed me, my outlook on life, because I ran comfortably. I was really comfortable with the pace I was running. And I wasn't there for me. And I made a point of learning from what I've seen before with pacers that I wanted to make sure that I was running at the right time. But most importantly, that I was helping people around me to be able to get there. And the first time I was like, you know what, it'll be so good to do. But from that, it's just evolved and blown up like exponentially in terms of what I now feel and love about running. Because I've run all over the world and I've paced such amazing races with such amazing people. And you know what? I do want to get a PB every now and then. I need to train harder for that right now. But what's much more satisfying is every single race I run, I join people to get their PBs. And from small races, having two or three people with you that you know that you've actually helped them to get that time they wanted, you've helped them to enjoy the experience. So running big races like London or New York, where you know that there's hundreds and hundreds of people that have ran with you. And one of the best moments, I think, that fit with me is, I think it was 2017, and I had this guy come back to me at the end of London Marathon, said he's been trying to get a sub-4 marathon for 10 years, and he did it today with me. And you know what? And he said, and it felt easier too. And that for me is the art as well, because I stopped enjoying running. I stopped liking it, and I was doing it just to push. And that's what happens with everyone. When you're trying to run a race, you are pushing, you're trying, but you stop to look around and enjoy it. And what I always tell people is, once you've done the training, once you get to race day, it's, you know, it's 70-80% mental then. The physical part, you know, there's nothing you can do come race day. So it's all up here. And if you're smiling, if you're enjoying yourself, if you're distracted, and that's the point for me as a pacer, I distract people. I entertain them. They don't need to look at their watch. They don't need to think about anything else. So rather than it being a race day experience, it's just a long training run with friends, right? And when you take away all that sort of stuff, you're more likely to succeed. And that's what I love. And I love also not just the running, but helping people with their psyche as well. Because one thing I always say when people are struggling is, if you believe you can, or if you believe you can't, you're probably going to be right. And so it's just that positive outlook to say, you know what, I can do this. And another thing as well, if you're not going to do it at the time you are, it's not going to get any easier. It's going to be painful for longer. So let's just keep going and get it done. And so I enjoy that. And the social element, and you say, like Dan, you're saying you're much more of a social runner. For me, that's absolutely what I enjoy now. I do want to do, and sometimes, and we can talk about that in a moment, I sort of set myself different challenges just for my own personal challenge. It's usually not about speed these days, because I find that hard. And frankly, it's hard to do lots of things and then concentrate on the speed. But for me, the social element, being able to run with lots of people and just see people of such mixed abilities enjoy running. And that's, I think, also, and I'm waffling now, sorry, but one of the things that I've learned as well, when I started out, runners, it was always kind of like all the slim, fast kind of people. They were runners sort of thing, and everyone else was aspiring to be them. And a real realization, I think, is a big cultural drive now, and it's a big shift. In terms of, that's not the case. You know, if you get out your door, you put a pair of trainers on, you're a runner. And it's trying to get everyone, I think that's quite often what holds people back. You know, usually it's getting out that door. It's about having that confidence. And actually, unfortunately, when other people put people down in terms of their abilities, because we're all individual, and it's about taking yourself forward with that. So I think I just love that social aspect to be able to run just with a mix of people and, you know what, help them see what they can achieve.
Oh man, I was getting goosebumps as you were talking then. That magical insight into, you've created the feeling, you've almost stopped time for people as you run, and you just take their minds off of the reason they're running because they think they want to achieve the time, or you just take that all away, just your presence, like you said, bit of fun, bit of camaraderie, bit of banter, just keeping them going, keeping them distracted. And then before you know it, this guy that said after 10 years he achieved the sub 4 and it was so comfortable, and I'm like, man, that's so powerful. One thing that stands out to me that I really want to dive back to is, what made you want to achieve those races with the PBs when you first started out? What was your mindset and drive that really focused on wanting to keep winning all the time?
So for me with the PBs, I've got quite a competitive background. Like I'm quite competitive. I think that's a lot to do with my growing up. So, you know, I grew up from quite a poor background, council estate, single parent, single child, and the first person in my family to go to university. And something within me has always had that drive to succeed. I've always, you know, wanted to kind of prove that it doesn't matter where you come from, and actually, you know, you can make something about your life. And so I think always at school, I was quite fit. I took part in sports. I didn't run for running's sake. I kind of run as part of sports. And so I was quite fit when I was younger. And so when I went to university and I didn't really do much sport, unless drinking was a sport, then I did quite a lot of that. But I kind of, so when I went to that first race since university, and I thought half marathon, that sounds fine. It wasn't my first half marathon. I'd done one before, but both times I'd not trained really. It was just my natural, I was sporty and running. But I struggled so bad, and I was like, this isn't good enough. And like, I'm not good enough. I'm better than this. I can do better than this. And so that was that drive for me. And then, you know, I'd go and do a 10K, and I think my first 10K I did was something like, it was 54 minutes or something like that. And then, you know, a few weeks later, I went and I got something like 49 minutes. And all the way down, I managed my PB was 37 minutes for a 10K at this time. And I think I was actually injured when I got my 37. I had a real bad knee when I got 37 minutes. Right now, I think, how the hell did I do that? Like, I'm so far away from that, it's unreal. But at that time, that was important to me. Like, I wanted to do better. But I got caught up with having to do better. So if I did not get a PB, it was just a huge disappointment. And as I said, I did not enjoy running at all. And I think we go through phases. And I think it within life, and running's always, you know, a good terminated, like, it's a good part of people's life. And the phase for people when they're trying to PB can be great. But you don't have to do it that way. You can do it and enjoy it. You can kind of do it in a more social way. You can, you know, and by all means, sometimes you're trying to get into, you know, a certain race or a certain time. Absolutely. It takes sacrifice at times, and, you know, it's what you put in, it's what you get out. But, you know, I want to talk in a moment, if we can, about just some of the other things I've done, because actually you don't have to be the quickest to do a race. You don't have to be the best. You know, sometimes taking part, turning up, completing is more than enough. And so it's about deciding what you want to do. And you know what, I could get back to that 37 minute time if I really wanted to, but it would take a lot more training. I would have to sacrifice a lot of my personal family life that I don't want to. I wouldn't be able to run as much as I do. I wouldn't be able to run all the marathons I do. And so I could do it, but I don't want to. I don't want it enough. I'd happily do it if it was easy.
it's like you said, you're in a different season now. You go through these seasons of, achieving the great times, but now you have a family and your priorities have changed, your time. And I think time is always just such a big, important thing. And you're emphasizing that more and more. We've just been able to do it professionally through timing, races with people as well. Talk to us about the relationship with your kids as well and the impact that has, them seeing their dad, achieve what he's achieved in, six Ironmen and over 100 marathons. Like, what influence does that have on them and how does that make you feel?
So I hope it's a positive one. I hope they will take that kind of commitment and consistency and persistence, determination, all that sort of positive stuff. But what I do with my family is make sure it's all about choice. So before COVID, my boy was getting into running, doing park runs. And ironically, where a lot of people got into running during COVID, he basically stopped. And it's taken a while for him to get back into it. Both my kids have run lots of races. I think my daughter did her first one when she was one in Disneyland Paris. She did like a 100-meter dash sort of thing. But I take my family with me. So with my Ironman events, I try to do one a year and I make that a family holiday. And so for me, it's not about this or that. It's about how can we do things together. So, okay, I'd like to do an Ironman this year. Here's our options of where there's an Ironman that doesn't now clash with school time and so on. Where would you like to go? And we go there. And what I try to do is we do a week holiday or so on. And I'll go there a minimal amount of time beforehand so I can get there to get my kit and so on and try to kind of not make too many days all about me. There's one day which, can't really help it. I'm gone for all day. But after that, it's family time. And you know what? I've recovered from a lot of Ironman carrying a kid on my shoulders going for a suit. All right. So the day after the Ironman, I'm there, kid on my shoulders. Not now, they're a bit big for that. But, it's about that sacrifice, but then also the balance. So I know a lot of people don't do an Ironman event because it's too much training. And I'm not one to promote under training, but I don't sacrifice my time with my family and you don't have to. I know there are people that are like, oh, you can see all these gifts about, oh, you do an Ironman, you don't have any life and you don't do all this. That's just not true. Okay. Yes, I would be a lot quicker, a lot better and more confident if I kind of did all that stuff, but I don't. I obviously have good fitness from all the running I've done, and I have a lot of mental determination. But that doesn't mean you have to spend hours upon hours every day training. Yes, the more you put in, the faster you'll be, the easier it'll be, but you can balance things with life. You can do it all. And I think with my family as well, when I'm doing racing and I go do that, so I obviously take a Sunday off, or if we go away, that's that. But when I'm not, I don't run anywhere near as much as I might want to, or I don't train as much as people would expect me to, because I run a lot with just races. And so outside of that, actually it's about spending time with my family, and that's why I'm not at the peak of doing PBs and so on, because I don't train what you'd need to do for that. Actually, that's not what I want to do. I want to go and race. I want to go and enjoy it. I'd run more comfortably. I like the social element. Run in a comfort that I know I can do it. That's why I'm pacing at a time that I know is comfortable. And then outside of that, well, I'm taking my kids dancing or swimming or just playing Fortnite with them at home, whatever. Well, and occasionally doing the maths and reading, but, when we can.
Just enjoying life.
Paul, I wanted to go back to what you were talking about as a pacer, like in the concept of like distracting people. What's unique about what it sounds like is unique about you is that you're different to other pacers where you actually make an effort to have a lot of conversation with the people that are running with you. Is that accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. So,
like I can talk to someone for 10, 15 minutes and I'll switch off if they're not like me. Dan is even better than me. He can talk for probably an hour with someone he meets across the street and make them feel included, welcome, and like the best person in the world. But Paul, you have to do it for 3 to 4 hours with a set of 10 to 40 people around you while running and feeling uncomfortable yourself. Like, are there any tips, tricks, or at least like framework in your mind on how to maintain conversation while everybody is feeling like shit on the last hour of the race?
I think the race, you can break up, and people break up in lots of different ways. But I always start off at the beginning. I wait till I kind of got the people around me. I think I'm in the right place, and I start conversation. I start that conversation up just by kind of, you know, who's here for, say, 4 hours. And, you know, oh, that means I'm in the right place. And I'm just checking I'm in the right place. And then when you've got, you know, people around you, I always like to do a bit of a brief, a bit of a talk. Now, it's very different depending on what country you're in, because obviously, you know, sometimes culturally, some people are more talkative than others. And I'll talk to you a little bit about the different type of people that run with a pacer. But I start off with just a general kind of, look, how are we all doing? How are you feeling? Any first timers? You know, anyone's run this race before? Who's going for, say, 4 hours? Anyone run 4 hours before? And then start talking about, you know, some of my race day strategies. So, talking about I like to run by effort. So I will keep myself steady. So if it's 4 hours, the goal time is 909 minute miles or 541 minute kilometers. But to be able to achieve that, we'd have to be running close to, say, 9 minute miles or closer to, say, a 535 kilometer, because we will run further. All of our watches are going to be different, right? At times, yours will be beeping at different times. The mile marker's not going to be in the right place, but that's okay. We will all end up doing 26.5 or 6 or 7, okay? So we have to run faster than our watch says. But you don't need to worry about that. That's why I'm here, okay? Don't worry about the water stations. When you get there, get a drink. I'm going to be getting a drink. I'm going to be slowing down, but I will be factoring that in as we go along. So the important thing is that you don't worry about your time. I'm going to keep it steady. I'm going to try to keep it going. So each mile marker, each kilometer, we're going to be around about 10 seconds under. Okay, and I'm going to keep going like that all the way. If anything happens, I will let you know. And I've had experience like this before. I've told people before. I did Amsterdam Marathon, I think it was in 2019, and they had roadworks a mile into the race. And they hadn't factored in what that impact they would have. And after a mile, we came to a standstill. And some people were jumping over barriers. And I was like, no, if I jump over a barrier and run off, what good is that going to be for anyone? All right? And so I said, look, just let's not worry. It took us 3 minutes to get through that, which meant I need to work out 3 minutes over the course of 25 miles. That's fine. That's like, you know, 15 seconds, 20 seconds a mile. And it was okay. Guys, we are behind, but don't worry. And we're slowly ticking it off. And for me, knowledge is power. Understanding what's going on helps you. So if for whatever reason we do go slow, for whatever, I'm going to tell them. I'll be, look, don't worry about it. We've dropped a bit of time. Most races, you know, for the first 5K, you can lose a couple of minutes because of crowding. What I say to people is, I can run off and run at the right pace, but that's not going to be good because we're going to lose each other. So instead, rather than zigzagging, run an extra distance, let's just wait till the crowd thins out and take it from there. You know, we are going to run also by effort. So if I know the course is basically start and finish in the same place, and it's the same ups and downs, right? If we're going up a hill, I'm going to slow down because hills are hard. I don't like hills. And if I run at the right pace, I'm probably going to lose everyone. And then I have to put the brakes on going down and everyone's going to run away from me. So I'm going to run slightly slower up the hill and slightly faster going down the hill, but it'll be the same effort. It'll feel the same. But if there's a little bump in the road and, I'm not going to do that. Or if I know it's a point to point and I know that there's quite a lot of hills towards the end or whatever, I might say, we're going to go like about a minute quicker for the first half because the next half's going to be rubbish. You know, whatever that will be, it's about letting people know what to expect, right? And then the crucial thing, when I finish my chat with people, is to get them to look around, introduce themselves. Sometimes I like a little joke, so I kind of take a selfie of us and say, remember where you are, so I want to have the same picture at the end, all right? But get to know people around you, because I'm one person, I'm just like the bus driver, right? But we're all running together, right? And lots of people you know here now are running the same for you. So some of you, unfortunately, are going to find that it's not working for you and you might drop off a little bit, but, you know, encourage each other. Others you might see dropping off, help each other to keep going on. And if you feel that you can go slightly faster, well, you know what? Pull off together. And for me, when I'm then running the race, there's different types of people. You get those who are like glue to you. They feel that unless they're kind of on top of you, running next to you, you know, I've had someone trip my shoes off before, right? Unless they're like abs on you, they're not going to do it, right? And I'm like, well, you know, you don't have to be that close. You get, you know, you didn't get the core group around you who were chatting. And then you get those behind you that aren't interested in the chat. They don't want the group, they don't want the crowd, but they just, they're using you because they want you as the guide, the pace. And a lot of the confidence at the beginning, you know, knowing that actually the pace is going to be quite reliable because everyone's had bad experiences with pacers and everyone's had great experiences. So some of that. But then you get those who want to be ahead of the pace the whole way, sometimes run a little bit too fast, right? And I've had such, like, you know, abuse, like, in a fun way most of the time, but some people really offended when you catch them up in terms of what you're doing here. It's like, well, sorry, you know, I can't help it. I can't slow down for you sort of thing. you know, but you get some people who get offended with that. And so it's hard keeping the chat up. Not everyone wants it. I have had races with a few people who aren't that talkative. You know what? I'll give out a little bit of guidance when we're on. I'll keep trying on. You do what you can. I've had other people that I've been singing songs, right? I'm not there for my singing, I must admit, but I do my best. And other times, I have people I've just been chatting, just general rubbish all the time, but there's always different people coming along. And sometimes it's the basic, how are you doing? How are you feeling? I'm catching up. You know, I like it's different stages of the race to start people thinking about what are you going to do when you finish? What are you looking forward to? I'm having a beer and a burger. You know, people start talking about what they're looking forward to. So we can kind of try to picture that, give you that motivation. And, you know, there's lots of different things. I try to mix it up, but, you know, one of my favorites, I talk to people about the mental aspect of running and how everyone says the final 10K is the hardest 10K in a race. And so I like to do that 10K first and mix it up. And so the last 10K is going to be the easy one because we did the hard 10K first. And so I do the first 10K, remind them that that's the hard one. And then we've got 10K to go. I then remind them that we've already done the hard 10K and it's all okay. So, of course, there's sometimes there's laughter. Sometimes people don't really get it. Other times, kind of, it's just you go along with it. But, you know, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter if people like me. It doesn't matter if people want to talk with me. It's about being there for those who do. It's about being there and being a little bit of something for everyone. So being consistent for people that need you to be consistent. Tell people, call out the times for those who need to know that. Explain the race and the course and the bits and pieces for those who need that. And for others, actually, just chatting and turning it to a long Sunday run, that makes it for them that they are just running. And like I say, quite often people run harder than they should in their training runs. And also there's the obvious, the feeling you get on race day of that momentum and motivation and all that sort of stuff where you naturally kind of, everything's much easier. You've got water on hand, you've got your gels and so on. So everyone should be able to run much better on race day, especially if you're training like a training run and it feels comfortable. And my job is to try to make it feel comfortable until the very end. And like that guy in London, and he's not alone, there's been lots of different stories and experiences where people get to the end and they feel great. And you know, sometimes people will run with me and actually their PB is like 30 minutes slower. So some of them don't quite make it. They don't make 4 hours, let's say, but they get like 4:05. That's a 25-minute PB. And quite frankly, a lot of people join you in a race who are going, I'm going to run with you for the first 10 miles and then I'm going to back off. And then 20 miles later, they're like, oh, we're still here, you know? And so, you know, just because people drop off, that's not a bad thing. But likewise, you get people who started with the person in front who then drops off and you pick them up. And it's about, you know, trying to do it. So the first half is just about that encouragement, motivation, let's keep going. The middle bit, frankly, is that kind of, you're just killing downtime, it's no man's land, you're just kind of, you're just running, you know, hoping people aren't getting too bored. You know, I always think to myself, why the hell am I doing this? This is a long way, why am I doing a marathon? You know, it doesn't matter how many you've done, you still think that way. And then the last 10K is about trying to just encourage people to keep going and hold on and remember that if they stop now and start going slower, it's going to feel just as bad, but for longer. So actually, you might as well keep coming, because people slow down because they think that that will make it easier. They slow down because they think they can't keep going, but then they have to keep going for longer. And so it's trying to fight that mental side, separating whether it's injury or just tiredness. And if it's just tiredness, what can we do to keep you going? Motivation, fuel, water, you know, and sometimes break it down, just another mile, you know, another kilometer. And you know, bit by bit, you just keep going. And you know what, especially when there's kilometers, you're only running between them every kind of 5 minutes. So, you know, by the time you're talking about one, you've got the next one, and, you know, you even make a bit of a chat about that. It's, you know, just whatever anyone needs.
I love it, dude.
That level of insight into what a pacer thinks is something I haven't experienced, thought of, and even considered before, right? Like, we are run leads in our respective communities, but especially when you have the environment around, but most importantly, the high stakes, right? This is not just a Sunday run at the end of the day. It is very, very important and critical to some people to make sure that everything goes perfectly. And Paul, you are a part of that.
Something you mentioned, Paul, as well, like motivation being a big part of the start of the race. Like, that's the bit that gets everyone going, breaking the ice. It's just chatting to people, sussing out the crowd. But motivation is like a really big part of anyone that decides to run. And I think, I don't know the Latin word or the meaning for motivation, but it's motive and it's action. And it's that reason to run. And that's what I find when I go running and you see at the end of the race, people are just splayed out across the floor, crying their eyes out or up against the fence. And I love to just immerse myself in those moments because, you know, we all have our own reasons for running. And I've had some quite, you know, powerful reasons myself, but I go up to these people after and I just put my hand on them and just say, are you okay? And they just say, oh, I did this for my sister or my dad. They start talking to you about their reason to run. And I'm like, bang, it hits me. And then I get all emotional with them. I'm like, wow, you know, just that feeling. Have you had stories like that where you've been running around as well, where you've really, you know.
So many emotions, you know, so many tears shared as well. You know, people instead are trying to think about where to start. There's just so many. And I think for me, that's exactly what the reason I've seen many more pacers these days doing the same thing. And I always try, and I when I'm running with other pacers as well, kind of bring that encouragement just so we're all doing the same thing. But at the beginning, the reason I talk with people the way I do is just to give them that comfort that actually I'm there for them and they can talk to me. So many people, like, you know, mums, dads, children, aunties, grandpas, you know, you name it. Everyone, there's so many stories and tears about who they've run for, you know, tears about those achievements because you've done this marathon for the first time, you run this time for the first time, You've been trying to do it for so many times. You know, I've had so many sweaty hugs at the end of races. You know, sometimes I've been towards the end of a race, you know, and just that kind of tap on a shoulder and someone starts running again. You know, there's always those who kind of, you like, come on, and they've just like, yeah, they're not moving, you know, no matter what you do, sort of thing. But sometimes that kind of little tap, come on. And, you know, towards the end of the race, often, a lot of my guys running with me have gone ahead, right? So I always kind of, the last mile or so, it's like, have you got it? And I always say, run with me, but don't wait for me at the end. You know, if you're at the finish line, that's great. But, you know, don't hold yourself back. Once you're there and you can do it and you feel you can keep going, go. And then I'm spending this time just encourage everyone else. And sometimes, you know, I'm getting to races and it's just, you know, you get people all stages, but, you know, when you get towards, you know, sometimes a few hundred meters away from the line and they're kind of just strolling and you're like, you know, you've got 20 seconds to get your time, go and get it, you know? And sometimes, and I think it's the way when people just put it all out there, you kind of, you don't necessarily think straight at the time and you need someone to go, just go. And they do. And then that's the thing. And sometimes that's what people need and that's what people want as well. And like at that finish line, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm staring and people coming in and come thank me, and, you know, whatever. So other times, you know, there's such emotion about, you know, why they're there. And there's lots of people that I've kept in contact with as well. So, you know, finish a race and people have come, some people have come to races to run with me for years in a row. You know, some people who kind of ran multiple races around the world with me and they enjoy that. And that's absolutely great. And, you know, then they end up there faster than me now. You know, it's just kind of like, you know, there's such a difference. But sometimes, you know, when you finish this, then people are waiting for you as well because they've ran off and they want to, they say thank you. And for me, it's not about that. It's not about someone saying thank you. It's about the fact that they've done it and the fact that it means so much to them. You know, that's enough to me. The fact that they've maybe overcome something they didn't really think they were going to do, or they, you know, they've managed to achieve that thing, which may have been a stretch, or, you know, put themselves out there and just been a small part of that. And like I say, I don't really run for PBs now, but I've got thousands and thousands of PBs with other people. And that means so much more. Knowing, having that impact, it makes such a great difference.
That's fabulous, Paul.
Yep.
Paul, I want to end off with the final question we discussed.
Okay, I'm nervous about that one now.
Don't be. I'm nervous about it too because I actually don't even know what it is. So, there's this game called The Meaning of Life. And it's a set of questions. It's a card game. So actually, you choose the question by picking which card or where you want to say stop as I'm going through this.
Guys, stop. All right.
Oh, sorry. Let's go through that one more time.
Bring it. All right, stop.
All right, that one at the top.
And oh, okay. Or do I want to confess to others, do it now?
Ooh. I think that's a powerful one. There's always the option to take another one as well, but there's also excitement in taking the first one that came up. And oh, we're going to have to answer that too, by the way.
Well, you go first so I know what to do.
So the question was, what do you want to confess to others? If so, do it now. That is a powerful question. And that's interesting because that's not a question that we've had like that before.
Yeah.
You're welcome to pass the question, Paul, if you want to pass the question.
I'm happy to go with any question, really. I don't really have a...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, I don't really have... I don't know if I have something to confess.
Yeah, I wear my heart on my sleeve, so...
Yeah. Like, I share everything, and I think Dan does as well.
Yeah, I mean,
let's do a different one. Let's do a different one.
Let's choose a different one.
Okay. Are we getting the same one again? Yes.
Oh, God.
Stop.
Yeah.
What can you not forgive in yourself?
This is similar. There's someone trying to tell you something here, Paul. I'm not quite sure what it is, but this is a very similar kind of question. So, Adnan, say the question again.
What can you not forgive in yourself?
I don't really have anything about not forgiving. I think it's about, for me, understanding that it's okay to be the best you can, I would say. I try to answer that question the best I can. I'm always my worst critic. And in life, I often set expectations so high on myself that it's almost impossible to fulfill them. And when you do, you then set harder and harder scrutiny on yourself. And I think really, to answer that one, it'll be that it's okay to do your best and it's okay to be okay. Because I think, if anything, I just always beat myself up in terms of, try. And I think if you look back about when I was younger trying to get my PBs, I was back then, it was not good enough. I couldn't forgive myself for not pushing harder and doing better. And it's the same for me in work life and home life and everything. It's just kind of, you can be your own biggest critic. And I think any sort of suggestion for anyone else would be, actually, go easy on yourself. You can only do the best you can. And, your best is good enough.
I love that.
I like that.
Yeah.
I can go next. I don't think there's anything significant that I can't forgive myself, because I think historically, while it's taken time, I always have. What I do harp on myself a lot about is a need to make others feel validated and included. So what I mean by that was as in my younger years, maybe in high school and as a child, there were moments where I felt like I wasn't part of the community or not included. And while I have definitely graduated from that feeling and that mind space, when I'm in a space with other people, I feel sometimes a need to make them feel included or validate them. And while I think that's a great quality to have, there are times where I overextend who I am to try to make them feel like they're included, Like it can be as simple as asking questions to someone that I'm honestly not interested in, just to, make them talk. Or feeling bad that I walked out the door in the morning because I was busy and I didn't ask mom how she was doing. And while all of that is important, sometimes it's okay. People don't fit in, people are busy. And I harp on myself a lot about that person was standing on that side and you didn't talk to them. Or, that person was awake in the house and not, by themselves, and you didn't chat with them for 5 minutes before you left. Sometimes you just have to do you and feel okay that not everyone can be included, not everyone can be massaged in a way that they feel validated or part of the community. So it's almost the devil's advocate to some of the stuff that Paul you talked about.
I relate to that experience as well, especially in a party scenario. It's so difficult, there's so many people, and it's kind of, you then find you're splitting yourself too much to try to, it's almost about how people will feel or perceive and so on. Actually, sometimes there's only one of you. You can only do so much.
Exactly. Exactly. Dan?
Yeah, for me, I think something I need to forgive myself on a bit more is I can often be that character that people say I'm quite a calm guy, I'm patient. I'm that kind of really calm presence. And I hear that a lot because I think I can be that person. I'm like the guy that I'm the mediator. I'm the one that calms things down. Or one of my mates said to me once, he said, if I was in a burning building, he said, I'd follow you because you just seem like you're the one to follow. And I'm like, cool, that feels really good. But I think when I'm around my family and I'm around the kids, and Paul, this, having two kids as well, they can drive you up the wall. And I think that calm presence and that character that I feel like I always try and portray when I'm at home with the kids, that's the reason I run sometimes, because I need to just get out the door and just switch off and just calm myself down. Because I don't know if it just takes me back to a place where when I was growing up, I was around quite angry moments and I was around kind of pressure, I think. And that turns me into that person then as well. So it just takes small things sometimes to go up to a certain point where I just really need to kind of bring myself back down. But it's okay to have those feelings. And I'm learning to be more patient and listen to my kids more. And if they're frustrated rather than just get angry, which is often the the thing that you do is just to just talk through and listen. And I do that a lot more than I think, but I try and be perfect, and you're never going to be perfect. But I think I need to forgive myself more, just to think, do you know what? It's okay to feel that anger sometimes amongst your kids, but you know, you're never going to be perfect. Just, you know, you're free to let out how you feel as well. But yeah, it's striving to be that calm person all the time, but you can't.
It's so funny that, like we just said, it's like you're talking about me there. It's just so, you know, when you literally do it all day long, and the worst feeling with kids as well is, you know, everything could be going on. You'll be thinking positively about everything you're going to do, or, you know, look forward to seeing them after the school or whatever. And obviously it just takes 5 minutes of them just like having a completely different picture of what they're going to do, and just kind of, you know, they can go from, if you've got two kids, you go from kind of lovely and getting on to kind of trying to kill each other in like 2 seconds. And you it's so hard to not lose it. So, and then you're like, and then you just stop yourself going, why have I done that? I don't need to do that. And just, but it's so hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fun though. It's, I think, I don't know, I'm in more of a, I don't know, this situation. I was a stay-at-home dad for a few years, so I had time to decompress from the stress of being, you know, burnt out through corporate work. And I had this time to just find myself a bit more and just be present and be in the now, that kind of thing. And I'm just constantly trying to be in that presence all the time. That's something I'm striving for, just to be that, you know, really grounded, grateful. And yeah, it's those moments where you're like, the kids are coming home, you know, I've finished work, I've got home early. And then you're expecting this like vision of the kids are coming in and we're going to play football outside, but it's not, it's chaos. The bags are getting thrown everywhere. And there's, Freddie's done this. Where's my iPad? And then all of a sudden, bang, that's gone out the window. You're like, well, let's just go with it. It is what it is. No, but it's good fun.
I'm taking notes, guys.
Never goes your way. But Paul, man, that conversation we've just had then about opening into your, I don't know, that reality of, you know, being there for people as a guide to pace people through, you know, these huge achievements. It explains just life in general as well. And you're always going to hit the bumps in the roads. You're always going to have that uphill struggle. You're going to have some people ahead, some people behind. But what has really stood out to me today is just do it. Just turn up, make the effort, be there. You know, encourage where you can. If you do fall back and you don't achieve your time, don't worry. You know, it is like fail forward. Just give it a go. Turn up, and if it doesn't go to plan, you know, try next time or try the time after. But just be in the moment, enjoy it. And I can see you on stage talking about this. You know, if you're not already, you know, more and more, I think just these life experiences through what you've created. I don't think there's anyone else like you out there that does what you do. I think it's incredible, you know, to take what you do from this, and you must apply it through, you know, work as well, and, you know, but bringing up the family and being that role model, not just for so many thousands of people that you help pace, but just, you know, friends, family, and all those around you. So congrats, dude. I love it. And keep doing it and never stop.
Awesome. I don't plan to. As long as my body will let me, I'll keep going.
Yeah. And let's try and get you over here in Dubai as well. And let's try and get you on a race. We'll keep in
touch.
That
would be awesome. Yeah, absolutely. I'll be there.
And you'll have to bring the kids. Pleasure. You've got to bring the kids as well. You can take them. To all the places to go. And
that sounds like a good plan. Thank you for having me, guys.
Thanks for listening. Leave us a review. Tell us what you think. Find us at Instagram, failforward.pod. If you know someone who wants to be on the show, or if you want to be on the show, give us a shout, DM us, and we'll see you soon.